This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 4, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Look at this. We're just 20 minutes away from the expressway. We'll give you everything that's been breaking in the world of sports throughout the broadcast day. Tomorrow we'll be at Richardson Bar and Grill on Campbell Road, and we have goodies for you. Whataburger G-Bag flags, a Stella Artois etched G-Bag Nation glasses. That's a good beer drinking glass right there. I have a couple of them at the house, for my NAs. Like those NA craft beers. They pack a lot of flavor in them, by the way, if you're wondering. Okay, it's time now for a basketball conversation as Joe Vardon, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, Joe. How the heck are you?
I'm doing fine here. I'm still in L.A. Did the LeBron stuff last night. Going to go check out the Clippers' new building tonight. And then I'm on the first flight out to come to you guys tomorrow night. So there you go.
Let's go. What was the feeling like in the building there 4 minutes to go second quarter?
It was cool, no doubt. I mean, I've been covering LeBron for 11 years now. There's pictures. It's crazy. It's like, even for me, right? Like, there's pictures of he and I talking, like, his first year back with Cleveland. And then on Monday, I was pretty much, like, standing the same way, having a conversation with Bronny. And I remember when Bronny was a child. I remember him running around in the Cleveland locker room and, like, out on the court. And just, like, if you take all the other stuff out of it, like all of the whatever you might say about that situation, and just still see that this man who has done so much for the NBA, he wants this almost as a going away gift. And it happens, and so for the first time in a 79-year history of a major American professional sport, we have a father and son in the same game. Like, it was, it was just like opening night's always a little different for any number of reasons, but this one people are going to remember it forever.
Have you gotten to the bottom of what Bronny is calling LeBron while on the court?
He said Bron. I guess. I don't know. I don't know that they said anything. Like, I watched. Okay, so last night, LeBron hit Bronny. He was wide open. Hit him for a three. Bronny missed. I didn't see them say anything. And then LeBron goes baseline, catches a, it wasn't quite a lob. He caught a backdoor pass and crushed it. And Bronny ran right by him to go pick up whoever he was supposed to guard on defense, and they didn't say a word. So theoretically, Bronny says he'll call him Bron, but I just I think that there's maybe they're communicating with their eyes.
Now, what do you think about the critics of this story that it made the game a sideshow?
I disagree. They were up 15 when he came in. They played for 2.5 minutes, and I think they were up 13 when he went out. The margin was around there. I don't think it was a sideshow. I thought it was respectful. I think that when you see Bronny out there, at least against the Timberwolves size, you understand that he's not ready to be an NBA contributor right now. He looks small, and he looks a little lost. But like the spectacle, or like the hey, what's going on here stuff, that was for the draft. That's when you have a kid who is like, you know, he barely got to play one season of college basketball because of this terrible thing that happened to him. And then he gets into college basketball, and he mostly struggled. You know, it's hard. I mean, people don't typically come back from heart surgery to play right away, but he does. He struggles. And so we know at the time that he's probably not one of the top 60 players, like, eligible for the draft. And so I think that is the time to say, well, what's really happening here? And you could, it doesn't matter which side of that argument you fall on. Like, you know, it's a legitimate argument, something to discuss. But once it happens, why on earth would you avoid making history if you're the Lakers? Like, you have to do it. You have to play him last night. You don't want any distractions for the kid, for the old man, for the team, the JJ, the new coach, like, when's he playing? Why didn't you play? Like, no. You play him. You get it out of the way. You make history. And then you move on. And so now they're in a great spot. Like, that team feels good about where they are and where they're headed. They like JJ right now. And now Bronny's gotten this out of the way. Next week there's a game in Cleveland. You know, he lived there for 11 of his 20 years. Bronny did. So I bet he gets to play there. And then the G League comes. And he's got to go down there and learn. And I think he will.
Joe Vardon covers the NBA for The Athletic. He's with us now here in the G-Bag Nation. Now, you covered Kyrie a lot as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
So we're trying to figure out, like, you know, what happened last year in the finals. Can he do better? Is, you know, is he over the hill a little bit as a superstar that you could rely on in a moment like that? And then, you know, after what Boston did last night, it just seems like a heck of a big mountain to climb, doesn't it?
Yeah. The only thing that made me a little uncomfortable with Kyrie in the finals was I thought we had overkill about him sort of like having to own up to what happened in Boston. And it's like, I know that that sounds strange coming from a journalist. Like, we want the introspection. We want people to admit that there was a mess and that they were involved in it and it may have been their fault. We won all that, and Kyrie did it. He did that. But then he did it again and again and again. And then, you know, like, part of it was in Boston. And then, you know, so all of that about coming back to playing a finals in Boston after all the trouble there. And I just, like, I wanted it at some point to be about basketball for Kyrie because I actually really fundamentally believe there's been a little bit of healing and a little bit of growth for him since he went to Dallas. You know, I think we talked during the finals, actually, yeah, the three of us, and we talked a lot about this. But I think it's genuine. And then I fast forward to I was with you guys on Media Day down there, and Kyrie was talking about what Dallas has been able to do for him, and he thinks it's going to be the same for Clay. Now, Clay does not have the baggage that Kyrie has, but he was saying, he was basically admitting that the organization helped him get over his stuff. And I think that's true. So, like, we should all be cautioned against going overboard that, oh, like, you know, Kyrie is a new man and this. Like, I think that he is who he is, and he's more comfortable with that than he used to be. And we understand the possibilities there that he might say or do something that you wish that he wouldn't. But I think he's got a better sense of self, and all of that feeds into your question of, like, is he over the hill? I don't think so. I think he's still a really, really good player. He's always been one of my favorite players to watch with the ball in his hands. And playing with Luka has been great for him. And then now having a legitimate three-point threat. You know, like, Tim Hardaway is a 35% three-point shooter. Well, guess what? Klay Thompson, who, like, fell out of favor with the Warriors, he still shot 40% from three last year. So, like, this is pretty good. And so, like, I'm excited to see another year with Kidd and you know, obviously with Luka and all that. But adding Klay to the mix, I think, could really help Kyrie, too.
So what do you think the reasonable expectations are for Klay year one with the Mavericks? Because I think some Mavs fans, just from watching preseason basketball, which I think is crazy and a knee-jerk overreaction, but they're already nervous, like, oh, my gosh, is Klay over the hill here?
Well, he's older, you know, and he's had the major leg injuries. I think that what's more important for Klay is the health there of, you know, obviously Luka, obviously Kyrie, you know, some of their young bigs. You really like those guys. I think that as long as Klay remains like that, like a third or a fourth option, I think he's got a chance to really be effective. If you think about the Warriors and how they were built, and then with the problems they were having with Wiggins and not being around, like that kind of, you know, that put Klay in the spot of having to be the Klay that he had been there for a decade. And he's, you know, he's between the injuries and just age in general, like maybe he's not quite there. He probably needs a little bit more of a reduced role, but I think he can do that in Dallas. So I'm not concerned right now, certainly with the preseason. I mean, you know, just as an example, obviously they're different athletes and different human beings, but like I've seen LeBron walk through preseasons and be just fine. So, you know, let's see when the games count, and let's see how the ball moves and what defense can do to try to take away Luka. And how open that leaves Klay, I'm guessing he can still shoot.
Joe, how would you handicap the West then for the Mavs? You know, we've always kind of thought of them as, you know, maybe a team that was kind of hovering as, you know, one of the last teams in the playoffs, maybe, you know, a play-in team. But where do you see them now, and where do you see the West go in this direction?
You know, it's funny you say that way, because, like, we had all of us, we had talked ourselves into a point, and certainly the Mavericks had played a role in this.
Sure.
Like, we had talked ourselves into, like, saying, like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a series. This is going to be a real series.
Yeah.
In the finals. Like, so credit to the Mavericks for that. And then you take a little bit of a step back from that, in part because of how the series went. And then you look at OKC and how strong they are, and you wonder about Minnesota. You wonder if changing the deck chairs there a little bit, if that actually ends up helping them. So I guess that's my answer, guys. I feel like let's start in Oklahoma City. Let's look at Minneapolis, but I don't want to get too far away from the Mavericks, because sure, I think that Luka is continuing to ascend.
It's Joe Varden, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, joining you here in the GBAC Nation.
J.J. Redick, as a head coach, what's the early returns here, and the complaint about the ball last night? Is that, I mean, what do you know?
He's a psycho. That was that was pretty funny. So, listen, like, I have been this was my first exposure to J.J. as Lakers coach. This week, I got here Monday, and I've just for the most part, like I asked him some Bronny stuff last night, but I've been mostly just kind of watching him and listening and just sort of trying to get a sense of how he works. And I think when they hired him, the concerns that I had that he would allow the ego that not only he, but all of 435 players who play in the league, that they all rightfully carry, that he would take that same ego with him into this role as coach in an era where that is not how you succeed. It just isn't. That is the modern NBA coach is going to clash with guys for the most part. If you carry yourself the same way you did as a player, I think he's super smart. He knows that he's smart. But what I have seen that makes me feel pretty good so far is that he's implementing the modern basketball, like the stuff that makes JJ an appealing coach, without the, you know, without, I guess, the ego. We'll just say that. He's talking about, like, being selfless and about relying on his staff. And, you know, he certainly, as I mean, you would be insane to try anything otherwise at this stage in their careers, but he doesn't look like, he doesn't see himself as LeBron and Anthony Davis's boss. You know, he views that as a partnership, but he is certainly through one game has put Anthony Davis in a position to be successful. And if he can subtly convince LeBron to take that backseat to Davis in a way that they have been talking about on the Lakers for years, but has never quite happened, I think that could be a real positive thing for the franchise. So, of course, you don't want to put too much into one game. But I just, like, that was a really long way to say that I actually like what I'm hearing from JJ so far, and I like the response of the players.
Terrific stuff, Joe. Thank you so much for your time, and I guess we'll see you tomorrow night at the AAC.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, as always.
Salute. There he goes, Joe Vardon, Athletic. A wealth of information. He's just been around this game for so long, knows all the major players, and has covered the game's biggest stars.
Dudes, okay, did you? I just sent you guys something on your DMs.
I just saw it.
Did you see this video? Yeah. There was a Los Angeles police chase that ended in a vehicle completely tipping over, crashing in a huge way. It was the vehicle that was running away from the police is the only vehicle that was involved in the accident. It is a wild video that I'm seeing here that just took place like 10 minutes ago. Crazy video.
I'm buffering a little bit. This lady is obviously going at a high rate of speed and maybe
trying to avoid the spike strips.
Oh. Yes.
And then she gets off road a little bit and then tail spins
and
flips.
You think she's DEA?
I do think 100%. She's DEA
1,000%. I don't think there's any chance of survival after this.
You know, you have those giant columns that are underneath overpasses.
Yeah.
And she basically rolled into two of those. Yeah. So that's a tough one. You know, I stayed in Southern California one summer. I think it was the summer of 97 maybe, and I didn't have cable or furniture. Okay, so imagine me sitting in a lawn chair cracking coldies in my apartment that I had for like 80 days
staring at the wall.
Yeah, and well, I'd watch the local news, and it's amazing.
KTLA?
Yeah.
They always show the high-speed chases and whatnot.
They it's amazing how many they have. Yeah. And especially with how much traffic they have. But that driver is not going to be involved in any more of those high speed chases. That's sad.
I think that truck broke in half.
Did it?
Hitting that pole. I think it ended up in half. Yeah.
So at 30 and George Bush there, right as you get into Rockwall through Garland and everything, about 2 or 3 months ago, we were leaving early for a soccer game one Saturday morning, and it was like just like 30 minutes later after they'd had one of these situations. And we always wondered, like, man, what happened there? Well, the last couple of weekends, we've been driving home, and there's this guy who's off to the side of the road. He's got like this little, you know, memorial set up with flowers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten off his motorcycle. He's parked it right there under the overpass, and he's just like chilling there praying forever. And I keep wanting to go up to him and ask him, like, dude, what happened? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's obviously a family member.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if he'd want to talk about it or if he would want to talk about it. But I've always been curious, and I Googled it a couple of times, but it, like, when a vehicle hits one of those giant columns underneath an overpass at a high rate of speed like that, it's just complete devastation.
Yes. No,
I mean, there's flame marks like 20 or 30 feet up that column just from,
gosh,
you know, all the different,
that's crazy,
you know, probably fuel splattering and stuff. Mm. Okay, time to hit the expressway. Could this news cause the Cowboys' top scorer to actually miss some games? That's coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. Time to hit the expressway. We go commercial free to the top. It's brought to you by the On-Time Experts. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. I think we're going to be talking a lot of football here in this expressway, Wolchuk.
We sure are. And I also want you to come out, Buffalo Wild Wings, Friday, Grand Prairie. All right, we got a double. G-Bag Nation will be there. KNC is going to be there. So you got from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. to come on out, party with us, talk all the footballs. Because the 5 o'clock football hour is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football.
Yes.
And Eric might even try and go for 20 wings. And what was it? 2 minutes?
3 minutes. Three minutes. I hit 15 last time. So.
Oh, yeah. I think you did
a heck of a job.
Because your technique got better. Your pace increased as you went along.
Yeah, I thought you had what you needed to do.
Hopefully I'll pick up where I left off there, Boston Celtics style a little bit. But yeah, I'm totally down to do that. I'm looking forward to being in Grand Prairie on Friday. Can I just acknowledge something?
Not the bathroom thing again.
No. Is this the first time that we've just had unanimous disdain for a guest on the text? I don't think there was a single positive text about Joe Vardner.
I know. They didn't like him. They thought he was an idiot. I think maybe he's not well known because he doesn't do a lot of media, but I thought he would get a lot more reverence.
He's a writer.
Yeah. He is a writer. But he's a good broadcaster.
Call a guest an idiot?
No.
Okay, what? Well, you want to read him?
We had like 3 people text in and say they didn't like him.
I didn't use the word idiot.
Oh, I thought you were calling him an idiot.
No. I have a lot of respect for him. I'm just saying I've never seen where it's unanimous that nobody texted in.
You should have seen when
positive
I worked,
remark about the guest.
You should have seen when I worked for DallasCowboys.com and Dawson and them would have to interview me and stuff.
Okay, so LeBron's very polarizing. There's two realities. Last night was special, it was emotional, historical, and it was a circus. You know, so I think immediately, boom, guy had reverence for what happened last night at Staples Center, and that turned.
And then
he picks the Thunder and the Wolves over the Mavs in the West.
That was off-putting.
That was another big turning point. You know, and then guest 101, you even if you lie, you just kind of you pander a little bit. Yeah.
You know, and it's like if you're on in that city, oh my gosh, like you just
Mavs got a shot. Mavs got a great shot.
Yeah.
You know, you just leave out the Thunder and Wolves stuff.
Yeah,
even
you
if
can't
you
do that.
Got them, you know, in the three hole there as far as your
like
power rankings.
Cole Beasley, the night we had him on.
Ooh,
that might have been one.
Cole Beasley might have been a unanimous.
And maybe that was just me and how angry I was.
That was a troubling interview for sure.
It wasn't good.
I think there was a Ronda Rousey interview back in the day with Nate Wood.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really? She was pretty rude.
Ronda could be very condescending and kind of just a beast.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I need to pull up that from the archives.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, you know, kind of legendary. She did not want to talk about, I think, beating up a dude at a movie theater or something like that. Oh, that's a bunch of old. She was just like, maybe she was, maybe, you know, maybe she had a little Mike Tyson in her.
She went full Aaron Andrews on us, huh?
Well, I'll say this then. Listen to Greg Papa in the pregame show. 49er game.
That's a vomit situation.
My man is a homer. Homer, and he's going to piss Eric off.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
I'm a Bob Papa guy.
Oh, I mean, he ticked me off. I was Bob Papa is
great.
Year.
Yeah. Greg Papa on the other end, he's very much like, yeah, we're the 49ers and we're way, way, way better
than
you.
He thinks the Niners are God's gift to football.
Yeah.
And if he still does this time around,
he'll be right. Eric will agree with
that's a tune in right there. I can't wait.
I'll pander to Papa.
We're looking at a 4:30 pregame Sunday night.
Officially, we'll actually probably get going. Me and Brad is around 3:00.
Yeah,
we'll tailgate a little bit.
Yeah,
and then we'll go.
You're starting at noon.
Well, that's the beauty of the Sunday night football games is we get the extra hour of the pregame show.
Yeah. Oh, I love that part. Okay, pitcher Fernando Valenzuela.
You can go pound sand.
Has passed at the age of 63. Yeah. Incredible legacy there for Fernando. I think he might be the first pitcher that I remember people talking about because he was so hot, like in 82, 83, maybe 81. You know, I'm 5 or 6 years old. I'm a little T-ball player. My manager was a big Dodgers fan, and I remember him talking about Fernando Valenzuela a lot. But incredible legacy. He made it cool to cheer for the Dodgers for fans from the Chavez Ravine neighborhood part of Los Angeles, which is basically right downtown. They took down all their houses to build this stadium, and so they a big portion of the population, the Spanish speaking or the Mexican population, Hispanic, I'm not quite sure exactly what to say about that, but those folks were mad at the Dodgers and wouldn't root for them. So Valenzuela comes in, dominates, and he unites those fans together and made it cool to be a fan of the Dodgers. But anyway, he's passed on to 63. I was shocked when I saw that news earlier today. Okay, kicker Brandon Aubrey has been selected to be on a 12-person jury for a felony case in Tarrant County. A source telling the Star-Telegram, there's not a clear timetable for how long the case will last. Aubrey missed practice again today. But our program director, Gavin Spittle, apparently a veteran of the situation.
I think he kind of looks forward to jury duty.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's been on some bigger ones.
He sounded into it.
Like says you can totally get off on the weekends, though.
Yeah, if Aubrey needs help, like a sub, yeah. I think our boss will tag in.
Yeah,
tag in here.
He'll be ready.
Well, Brandon Aubrey, apparently the Cowboys tried to get him out of this. He said, no, I want to do my civic duty, and that's why he's doing it. Nick Harris added that he's expected to return on Thursday and Friday. This is a third-degree felony strangulation case.
Oh. Ouch. Sounds terrifying.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. All right. So Cowboys tried to get him out of it, but no biggie. You're the kicker. You're good, right? You can bang a couple into the net in the garage when you get home at night, and you'd be ready to thump that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. And Spittle even mentioned generally you're off by 3:00 every day. So plenty
you
of time.
Swing by.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. Work with John.
Got an
guys.
Indoor facility.
He's
practice.
Good to go. He's the MVP.
Mike McCarthy reacting to Jerry Jones saying yesterday on Sean and RJ's show, we're designing bad plays or we're designing bad concepts. That's he's Dunsky, right? It's over. I mean, if you look back on that quote from Jerry Jones yesterday, it's actually kind of ballsy, you know, it's kind of shocking. But Mike was asked for thoughts on that today. He said, I don't really have one. I talk to Jerry all the time. We've had to go through the self-scout. I didn't see the comments specifically. I don't think we have bad concepts and bad plays, but I'll go back and check. You know, we're not where we want to be. That's clear. And ultimately, it's my responsibility, and I am fully aware of that. I think Mike gave us his genuine reaction the first time this happened, like in 2020 or 2019, and he was kind of hacked off. I think he's just kind of learned what it takes to go with the flow.
At first, I don't think he understood what he was into. Now he gets it.
Yeah.
He completely understands. Yeah. I think there was a time where he probably was wondering why after a post game that three dudes were asking him questions and everybody else was somewhere else. He was probably walked in that room and wait a minute, where's everybody?
Jerry's talking.
Where's everybody? Yeah, I think he's figured this thing.
It's got to be infuriating as a head coach. You don't have to deal with this on 31 other teams, but you do here.
I can't wait for the tell-all, you know, whether it's in a Peter King article or a book or something like that.
He's back on the trail now. Yeah. Peter's kind of itching to get
sniffing around.
Yeah, Peter's kind of one of those guys that's like, hey, I'm traveling across the country. Here I am posting all this.
One big story.
Peter's about to make a comeback in the NFL.
I thought he was going to do another barnyard sit down with Pelissero and just air it out.
That could happen.
On the network.
That could happen.
This is his guy.
Yeah, something like that. You know, Pelissero would be awesome. Mike Silver, you know, somebody just to dig in. And I think Mike McCarthy's going to relish that opportunity to talk. I don't know. You know, maybe you want to maintain a good relationship with the Joneses. Maybe right now he's thinking, my only chance of keeping this job is if Jerry knows I won't betray him in public. That's big in Jerry's book. That might be line one.
What if his first sit down is with the Hawk Tua chick?
Could be. Man, that's a top five podcast
right
now. The
call her daddy one.
Talk Tua. Yeah.
That's where he just goes and he just airs it all out.
All righty. Elsewhere here in the world of sports today, so much has been developing around these Cowboys. And yes, obviously the play calling is something that we're hoping is better. But I'm also looking at the talent. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I don't know how you don't go up there and pop off back. Like, where's our last two first round picks out here?
Last year they asked about, hey, deadline. He's like, I like our players. I mean, Mike might be into that as well, thinking, we got the right guys here. I don't know, but I agree with you. I mean, clearly there is a talent discrepancy. I mean, I don't think that it's very good right now compared to other rosters.
Okay. Then we go to the story about the star and the former players talking in an ESPN story. You know, the really an aggregation of quotes. Running back Tony Pollard, this is more about football, just X's and O's, talking about his time with the Titans now. Did spend five seasons with the Cowboys. I'm in a better place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, just all around. Wow. It sure seems like the guys are having a great time when they're here. Doesn't this seem like bitterness from the Cowboys didn't want you back?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a fair perspective to have, and you can poke holes into some of this stuff. I also think that you're Tony Pollard and you don't necessarily know any better because this is the only team, you know, you'd only been on the Cowboys. Now you're, for the first time, you're seeing what else is out there in terms of the way teams run things.
Yeah.
And so now you're kind of just seeing the other side. You maybe not even realize how it was until you saw something else. And now you're in a situation where you're like, oh, yeah, wow, this is totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's a good sign. You know, I think in everything you do, the attention to details, you got to be focused on winning. Like, you know, the great quote that's going viral or the great audio, Jerry Jones, you know, we will win. The name of the game is winning, you know, when he is very intensely doing that press conference
been
back in the day.
For that guy to come back, man.
Yeah, you know, that. I think that's the energy that you need to win in this game. There's just, you got to have everything so buttoned up. And even if you are amazing, there's still Patrick Mahomes out there. So you have to be like amazing and then think, are we good enough to beat an inferior team that has Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback, you know? And I think teams are scrambling to try to figure that out. And the Cowboys have their tried and true ways. But this is just a symptom of that. You know, it's a symptom of the fact that your GM isn't solely focused on football and, you know, driving people and keeping people accountable throughout the week on that mission. You know, you read the books of the guys that have been to the top. And I think the last one I read was Bill Walsh. Mm. And it's just insane the attention to detail that they have and the insistence that everybody develops championship habits. You know, these things are, you know, are well embedded in the culture of an organization, right? And I just think, you know, this is another sign that the Cowboys are miles and miles away from being that kind of an organization. So you're left with, can they just get enough good players to overcome this?
And good coaches.
And I think they could, yes. If they had the right coaches and then nailed a couple of drafts and went in and got a Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore that were a few years younger, you know, and maybe you don't run into the Shanahan offense every time you get into your first playoff game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a unique problem for this defense. They've been close enough, you know, and I wonder just how much does this culture stuff matter?
Well, I think it matters a ton, but it is funny too. DiNucci's on with us earlier saying, like, the irony of being in a team meeting where they're talking about eliminating distractions and you walk out and you're met with a group of 40. Here's the tour, and they're all just staring at you and stuff. That
makes
poetry.
It tough. I mean, and then he also had the comment about, like, he saw Jerry maybe once a week. I mean, it's just it's unrealistic to think with everything that Jerry has to do and how busy he is that he can really put all the time necessary to being a general manager in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, it's impossible.
That's a full job in itself. There's no way with everything that he's asked to do that he's able to do that.
Bill Parcells was telling us about this 18 years ago when he said, I don't know if I have stadium Steven or football Steven on any given day, you know, because they were busy building the stadium and he couldn't get a front office that was, you know, solely focused on making the roster better. Panthers quarterback Bryce Young is going to start Sunday versus the Broncos. Andy Dalton there with the sprained thumb. Car wreck had to make it right for the Panthers. And DeAndre Hopkins is going to join the Chiefs there, a little trade with the Titans. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has an edition of LA Live.
When the Cowboys were in Valley Ranch, I used to go up there a few times.
Yeah.
While they're working out and everything. And they were winning then.
Yeah.
They were winning then. Yeah, it was like a little sideshow. You go watch them. Like, hey, look at this Cowboys right there working out. And he's right. Tap on the glass and see if they do something. Yeah, all of that is true. That is very true.
Christy Scales tells stories of way back in the day, you could go watch them practice up here, right? Just in North Dallas. They had a facility and you could, like,
on Forest Lane,
stand on the curb and watch them through the fence.
Yep. Their offices used to be right here off of Mockingbird, here. Yeah, right across from SMU.
Yeah, we used to ride our bikes. I have a adult family member take us out there and let us watch the Cowboys practice and work out.
Forest Lane, yep.
All right, it's a Butt Naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Let's get into it after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance on everything. Everybody get high.
I notice my palms are sweaty. Knees weak, arms are heavy. My sweater already. Arms spaghetti.
What's going on?
I'm nervous, but on the surface I look calm and ready to drop bombs, but I keep on forgetting. Dun, 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 dun. I thought Eminem was going to be performing. I was going to jump out. Love me some Eminem.
It's Butt Naked Wednesdays.
Man, what was he doing right there? Hold on. Hold on.
I was going 8 Mile.
My palms are sweaty.
Hooray.
Knees weak. Arms are heavy.
Heavy.
What is it? I'm on my sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
Ready? Spaghetti.
It's like a drunk player at a championship parade, just like inexplicably doing crazy things at the mic.
What is he saying?
Barack Obama.
Hey, this is LA Live for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. It is a Butt Naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Shout out to Miss Badu, Miss Erica Badu for that name. I too was born underwater with $3 and 6 dimes. Yeah, you might laugh because you did not do your math. Now, normally I just, you know, I just let you have that. You don't even know what's going on, why I'm saying that or whatever. So normally I just keep it moving. But today, I might try to civilize an 85er by giving you today's math. Today's math is knowledge, wisdom. Knowledge is the foundation. Wisdom is the wise application of that fair knowledge. Peace to the gods and earths. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, and you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here comes from the It Is What It Is podcast with Cam'ron and Mace. Mace asked Mike Tyson, how'd you come up with all of those press conference rants, Mike?
Like, how did you come up with those rants before the fights, though?
What's that?
When you pause, when you told what you call it, you was going to eat his kids and all that.
I'm bipolar. I'm tripolar. I'm not well. I need medicine. I need to be on. I'm not well. not well.
I believe you, Mike. I 100% believe that, man. You're not well at all.
Eat his kids and all that.
So you know, funny. Alexander, I'm Alexander. What do you say here? Hey, man, whole lot of hater energy going on out here. A whole lot of hater energy. I don't know what it is. You got Bronny and LeBron. They hating on that. I like to see Bron flex like this. I do like to see Bron flex. You can get mad. I don't care. There was a Texas woman that returned her undocumented boyfriend to Mexico after she caught him cheating.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Well, that's some big time hating right there.
That's jeez. Did she tie him up and throw him in the trunk?
She told him she was taking him to Six Flags.
Next thing you know. Uh-oh.
Wow. Baby, where is the Six Flags at?
Yeah, do you want to pull the fast one on him?
Yeah. There's another sad, sorry story of a no-good scum of a man who shot and killed a woman at work here in the DFW because she reported him to HR for harassing her. Come on, fam.
Get it together, guys.
Whole lot of hater energy out here. That is not the way to do it. God bless that family. Sir, you have changed so many lives by getting emotional. Yeah. Come on, man.
That's psycho energy that, right
100%.
There. That graduates from hater to psycho.
All the way. Platinum edition.
Yep.
Platinum edition. So I got a question for the Tolos with all this energy out here. What is the biggest hater move you've ever seen? The biggest hater move you have ever seen. I asked this to the Tolos that follow me on Facebook. And fellas, if you think of one while we're talking, or if you see one on the fan text, don't be afraid to jump on in there and say something.
Pry Eagles fans booing an injured Michael Irvin.
Yes! Yeah, that was really suffering that is a big time hater energy.
Spinal injury. The spinal.
Didn't they beat up Santa Claus or something like that too?
Through batteries, snowballs. Yeah.
Boy, that's some big time hater energy right there.
Yeah. I think I probably hated on Brad Pitt quite a bit when Fight Club came out.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
He's lashing out.
He's just on steroids, you know. He probably, probably starved himself for that.
That's hating.
Troy might be worse.
That's big time hating. Brad Pitt is an inspiration.
Yeah.
I really love old Brad Pitt.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah. Other than like his family and daughters and stuff don't like him, but the idea of Brad Pitt is amazing to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's living the best life.
Hey, you know,
just relaxing.
See, what's the biggest hater move you ever seen? Jerry Jones threatening a radio host's job.
Nice.
Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott, getting $640 million in their divorce and just giving it all away to charity. She keeps giving it away.
Yeah.
You just search her name on Google, and she's giving away some money somewhere to somebody. And I think she's giving some to, like, the Grand Prairie ISD. And
let's go.
Yeah, she's been out here, man. Kobe saying Shaq was cheating, too, when he got caught up.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's big time hate. That was some big time hate and energy right there. Kobe said, come out, Shaq, we caught. That's later energy right there, bro.
Are we a team or not?
They got us, dog.
You got my back, don't you?
Ooh, 2-on-4 Texan and Tanya Harding.
Oh, that was big time hater energy.
Damn, that's a good one.
That was big time hater energy. She took it to the point right there.
Yeah.
Andrew Bynum clotheslining JJ Barea in the 2011 playoffs. Yeah. Yeah, he got frustrated.
You know, I don't like to bring this one up very often, Lucius, but I thought when Jared called me about the Jack Leiter start, that came from a hateful place. You know, I know he wants to move on from it. He's not very proud of it. But.
I can hear his eyes rolling. When the NBA commissioner blocked Chris Paul's trade to the Lakers, that was big-time hate.
That's hating right there.
That was big-time hating energy right there. Refusing to fund schools that teach real history, that's hating. Go ahead, take that medicine.
Don't teach the real history.
don't take that medicine, bro. Jerry Jones trading Amari Cooper over the jab.
That's
over the jab.
That's hating.
Yeah.
That's hating.
I think Aubrey might have to be careful with this jury duty stuff he's doing. You know?
Why you think?
He's not putting the team first.
Oh.
Jerry has a precedent, dude. Go ask Amari Cooper how that goes when you're like, nope, doing my own thing.
Not a bad idea, though. Aubrey's probably the one guy you can get some value for at the deadline.
He's their best player, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Let's see. Question for the Tolos. What's the biggest hater move you've ever seen? Oh, my God, it's clearly hate. It's not even being objective. It's just straight hate.
Oh, there was the New Mexico State quarterback who peed on the logo of
it's now Vandy's starting rival. Quarterback.
Yeah, Pavia.
Yeah.
Diego.
Yeah, you took it too far,
Diego
bro.
Pavia.
Yeah.
You took it too far, dog.
Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Really? Hey, what is that area? Deep Ellum. I seen somebody peeing on the hood of a car in Deep Ellum. No. I did.
Really?
I really did. He didn't even stop when he seen. It was like, yeah, it was dusky. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was getting there.
Dusky.
It's about time for you to leave if you're my age. It's like, well, about time to get on out of here. All the young boys getting here.
Yeah.
Well, they the ski masks they got on and everything. Let me get on out of here.
Deep Ellum is just like, it's the only part of downtown Dallas is like other cities' downtowns. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy. You never know what you're going to see.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it during the day.
Yeah.
I love it during the day. It's a different beast at night.
It sure is.
Biggest hater move you've ever seen? When people say Eminem can't rap, yeah, they hate him. Oh, yeah, that's just flat out hating. He won the Rap Olympics. I've never seen my dad sit down and watch a rap tournament until Eminem came out. And we were watching it. It was like on HBO or something.
Okay.
All my dads and uncles, oh, white rap, white rap. They was losing their minds, dog. Well, let's see what else we got right here. Dan Snyder naming the team the Commanders, knowing the new owners would have to keep it. Big time hitter move.
Here you go, guys. Quite a legacy.
I'm out. Good night.
How about the whack ass Sean Taylor statue that was basically a half ass mannequin?
Oh, that was hating by the sculptor.
Yeah. Gosh. That was the Ronaldo statue.
Yeah, that was definitely some hating.
Wow. Yes,
that was definitely one. Some big time. Oh, sexy I got to do what? Alive, yeah, huh? I'll tell you what.
Give him the jacked up teeth he had when he was 15.
Biggest hater move when Kendrick Lamar having a concert on Juneteenth performing Not Like Us 50-11 times in a row. Yeah. And it's going to be happening during the Super Bowl, too. Drake's going to have a hard time with that halftime show.
Rough.
Let's see. Now, I might need your help on this one, Eric, on the Google side of the game.
Okay.
Bigger hater move. Ben Affleck halting production of Gone Girl for a week because a director wanted him to wear a Yankees cap. For one scene.
Oh, yeah, he's a big Boston guy.
Is that true?
I think that is. Yeah. I've definitely heard about that over the years.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've heard about it multiple places.
You're playing with the money now, fam.
I think I've seen him talk about it, too.
We're going to find out. All right, bigger hater move saying Haitians are eating pets. Oh!
They're big eating time the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're
eating the dogs. Eating the
song that came out of that is good.
That was such a jam, dude.
Eating the dogs. Ça passe to all my Haitians out there. Ça passe. What else we got right here?
They're clearly just using them for voodoo spells.
Vadoom. Hey! Laying down a bunt to break up a no-hitter is a big hating move.
Oh gosh.
I would do that. I would absolutely do that. Yeah. We don't want to get no-hit, guys.
Yeah, yeah. You just lay down.
It's kind of like unwritten baseball rules. Can't do it.
Is it?
You're not allowed. Yeah.
I feel like it would be. Okay. So many unwritten ones.
So the critic is calling this Gone Girl Ben Affleck thing perhaps something that is more of a tongue-in-cheek from the director during the Gone Girl DVD commentary. It felt like he was being sarcastic when he said they had to shut down production for 4 days. He called Affleck unprofessional, like kind of in a joking way. So it might just it might be myth.
Once they get into the print, then everybody can put their own interpretations on top of it.
It makes him look like a Boston savior.
It does, really though. It's good for him.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I like it, but you're playing with people's money. Hey. I want to do something frankly to you. Hey, baby. On a Butt Naked Wednesday.
Oh, got some good ones on the text, Lucius.
Come on.
T.O. disrespecting the star.
Yeah. That's some big hater energy right there.
That's a good one. Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. Does that qualify?
My wife's name out your mouth, man.
I'm not sure about that one. How about a hard foul on a guy going for a dunk? You know?
Well, yeah, that
you
was
push him down.
Yeah, when he's been wearing you out, Paul.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get it.
The Dwayne Wade and LeBron James mocking Dirk during the finals.
Oh, there you go.
It was some hater energy. Yeah. But it really changed how you looked at those guys after that.
It did.
It really changed.
It's a bad time for LeBron.
Yeah. Let's see. 50 Cent buying all the seats of the first three rows of the Ja Rule concert. So when Ja Rule performed, he performed empty seats.
That's hilarious. That's amazing. That's a good bit.
Yeah, man. Steve Harvey calling the producer of Ocean's 11 trying to get Bernie Mac's job for cheaper.
Oh, damn.
Come on, baby. I can do it. I can do it.
A fellow king?
Yeah, yeah, man.
We're having a Steve Harvey sale today. We just want to let you know what's going on. We have 24 hours.
Steve Harvey sale.
Everything's...
Steve Harvey sale.
The season's
crazy,
changing
bro.
A little bit.
Discounted rate here.
No
Steve
reason
Harvey
will
sale.
Be refused. Capitalize.
That's hilarious, bro. Steve Harvey sale is funny. God, that's funny. What is the biggest hater move you've seen out here? Boss fired me because everyone liked me more than him.
Damn.
Whoa. Yeah.
Boss weak. Yeah. Biggest politics. Hater. Oh, well, go ahead. Yeah.
No, that's politics, man. They'll get you. Be the better man for the job, not get the gig.
Politics as usual.
John Smoltz commentary during the World Series last year says the 714. I believe that's Orange County.
Wow. Good pull. 100%.
Jerry suing his own daughter.
Damn.
Oh.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Biggest hater move. Tupac's hit him up. Yep. 100%. The way the Cowboys front office does business, they hate their own team. Another guy says child support is big hater energy. let's see what else we got. We got time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cat Williams on Uncle Shay Shay. He was kind of letting us know the truth.
Yeah, I'm just telling the truth. I'm the truth teller. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Butt Naked Wednesday. When I say NBA great Larry Johnson, what comes to your mind?
Skyline High School.
Hey, yes, yes. Skyline High School, stand up. What else?
UNLV.
Yes, yes. He's a running rebel.
Mama, was he the
Grandmama.
Grandmama?
Grandmama commercials. The Grandmama commercials, legendary commercials, but the ad campaign would have been totally different if it wasn't for some big hater energy. Listen to the story he told All the Smoke.
The first commercial is, we're going to put you on a gurney, we're going to cover you up, and nobody can see you. And he said it's going to be two doctors. One going to be Magic Johnson, and the other doctor going to be Larry Bird. And at the time, if you can't remember, they both was in Converse. Mm-hmm. One Dr. Larry Bird, one Dr. Magic Johnson, and they going, ah, scalpel, ah, this, ah, that. And they saying, ah, we finished. And they say, the perfect basketball player. And then one of them say, well, we got to name him. And Larry say, well, his name got to be Larry. Then Magic say, no, Johnson, Larry Johnson, Larry Johnson. And I raise up.
That's a big miss.
And the commercial goes off.
Ooh, that would have been cold.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a million signing bonus. Month later, I bought my mom a house with $1 million. So the $1 million gone. Yeah. So season starts. They come to me. You ready for the commercial? Yeah, I'm ready, man. The fellas ready? When I got to the set to do the commercial, now they ain't telling me nothing. I got to the set to do the commercial, and I walked into my trailer, and I see a dress, a wig. I see all this in the corner. I said, where's my wardrobe at? Because I ain't bring nothing. They said, you ain't got to bring nothing. And they came, they said, Larry, they pitched this one to me. I said, what happened to the commercial with me and Magic and Larry? He said, one of them didn't want to do it.
One of them didn't want to do it.
Wrong.
No. I never knew which one didn't want to do it. Larry loved me.
He loved
me. Yeah, Larry loved me. I never knew which one didn't want to do it. Larry loved me.
Big time hating. Yes. Big time hating.
Massive, dude.
Because that would have been an amazing commercial.
Yeah.
Amazing commercial right there. But
I was hoping at least they'd shot it so we could get it out of the archives or something. That sounds amazing.
That sounds real cool. Well, we didn't see it. We seen a man in a dress dunking on everybody in the gym.
Dude, that would have been so amazing in like 1991. That Larry Johnson commercial would have hit so hard.
Come on, that would have been crazy, bro. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be here tomorrow on a Thirsty Thursday. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I holla.
Thank you very much, Lucius. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, we got 1 hour to go. A big promotions tomorrow, Richardson Bar and Grill, Campbell Road. We have the G-Bag Nation flags. We have the Stella Artois glasses waiting for you tomorrow there on Campbell Road. And we're going to be at B-Dubs in Grand Prairie on Friday. But we got to talk some college football, don't we, guys?
Yeah, we sure do. Who gets turned on by road games? We had a new Mora rant for the ages and a person who found Cam Ward is hanging out right in our own backyard. That's next in the nation. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.